Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
And now Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Norwalk, Ohio. A 21-year-old man was arrested for pulling a sword on his former roommate when the roommate returned to retrieve some of his belongings. The roommate was attempting to take his bag of pizza rolls! Definitely not a Jew!
Mike Reese is here. The book, Springfield Confidential, Jokes, Secrets, and Outright Lies from a Lifetime Writing for The Simpsons, as I told my audience. Possibly before he showed up, my kids just turned 12. They're twins. We just started getting into The Simpsons, and we've literally just mowing through every season starting in, I guess, 89 or 90.
Wow, you're going in order, eh?
In order.
Wow, it's going to get better and better and better, and then worse and worse and worse. And it'll be a wild ride from here on in.
Yeah, and you're responsible for some of the best episodes and some of the best years, and I always tell, it's kind of weird. I love, like, for me, and I always screw up the names, but I like when they open the Springfield Casino. Mm-hmm. I like the Haunted Treehouse. I think that was one, or the
Treehouse of Horror.
Treehouse of Horror. I also like the Treehouse part of when they booked Robert Goulet to play his Bart's Treehouse when he was competing. I love Rancho Relaxo, which is Marge goes AWOL or whatever. I can't think of that one either.
Marge on the Lamb, yeah.
I love a Homer steals Cable. A Homer becomes morbidly obese. These are all.
Wow, you're still early on. There's a lot of great years.
I know. Keeps going and going.
It goes and goes and goes. And I don't know. I shouldn't get sentimental right away. We ended our 29th season, and people said, that's one of the best ones you ever did. And we just had a reading this morning of something that won't air for a year, and that killed. And so we're back in the groove.
It's amazing that the band is still together. I mean, I know tragically Phil Hartman passed.
Mm-hmm. Sam Simon.
And Sam Simon,
Marshall
sure.
Wallace.
But it so many of the original voices are still there after so many years. It's unheard of.
It's staggering. I did this other show called The Critic, and people say, oh, bring back The Critic. And everybody's dead. It's a much newer show.
Yeah.
And yet half the cast is dead already.
By the way, always loved The Critic.
Thanks.
Always thought that show was funny. It was probably you or The Simpsons. There was something. It was John Lovitz. And I couldn't quite explain why it was funny. It had a lot of funny. I guess it had some Simpson-esque stuff to it, or actually, it had some sort of Family Guy type jokes.
Guy, what they didn't take from The Simpsons, they took from The Critic.
From The Critic, yeah.
And they've admitted it. And I'm a big fan of Family Guy. I just can't say it around work, but I think it's a really funny show.
But The Critic was really funny as well. I don't know what the I know it was on, and then it was off, and then it found a home somewhere else.
Yeah, if you get the book and you make it that far in the book, you do get the whole story of the critic in short form. But it was on ABC, and it just didn't belong there. And it,
right.
it was, we came on the air there. We got great reviews. We got really good ratings. And 2 days later, my secretary walks in with a big box, and I go, "What's that?" And she goes, "It's hate mail. The ABC audience hated our show so bad, and we were gone in 6 weeks." And then we went to Fox, where we were getting really hit ratings, and then a new president of Fox came in and just killed it. He hated the show.
It's a really funny show, and it has a lot of, like, sort of non sequiturs and flashbacks and forwards and what have you, and a lot of that stuff that you'll recognize, especially later, as I said, in The Family Guy. So seek it out. I think you guys will enjoy it. The book, by the way, is available on Amazon, and you can bookmark us and click through our site, and it just helps.
What were your expectations when you were first hired on? Would you think this would go for a year if you were lucky, or what?
Not even. Not even. When I got the job at The Simpsons, I got the job because everyone else in town had turned the job down. Where it wasn't just going to be a flop, but we were told it was going to be career suicide. And so I took the job, and I didn't tell anyone what I was doing. Also, it was just a summer job. I was working on It's Gary Shandling show, which was the lowest rated show on TV. And then on summer break, I'm doing The Simpsons. And then before The Simpsons came on and just changed TV, I had to go back to the lowest rated show on TV for another year. But there's a story I tell where we're sitting with all the other writers in our trailer because Fox didn't even think we justified a room.
Right.
We had a trailer, and if the show had flopped, they were going to back the trailer up to the ocean, and we'd be Japan's problem. But I asked everyone, how long is the show going to last? And everybody said 6 weeks. That was our highest expectations. And Sam Simon said, it might go 13 weeks, but don't worry. No one's ever going to see it. It's not going to hurt your career.
I've always cited it as the best written show on TV. But also, I saw you in a documentary, and I'll tell you about that in a second. First, this half of the show brought to you by MedMen. Go to MedMen.com. Let them know I sent you. And LifeLock, LifeLock.com. Enter Adam. And Geico. Go to Geico.com. So when you walked in, I went, I recognize you from the National Lampoon documentary, which I always screw up the title of.
Brian Crazy, Lowe. Stupid.
See if you get it. I know.
Drunk, stone, brilliant, dead.
Right,
that's it.
Yeah. Right.
I know the four words. I'd give them an order.
That's a very bad law firm.
So you were featured in that as well. So that must have been your National Lampoon days or Harvard Lampoon days.
That was my job right out of college. I worked on the Harvard Lampoon in college and was one of the first guy in a decade from Harvard to go to National Lampoon. And I loved it. I started with the best job I ever had where you only had to work 3 days a month, and they just printed whatever you wrote. There was no editing. But it was
a sweet gig.
Yeah, it was really sweet. I loved it. I'm living in New York, but the magazine was circling the drain, and I knew I had to get out of there.
And there must have been, I know there were headhunters from Hollywood, like going after this crop of writers and talented artists, right?
Certainly, there's all these guys you probably know from Harvard Lampoon, but that was not happening back then. This is 1981, and there was one guy from the Lampoon in Hollywood, and the only other Harvard Lampoon guy to make a career in comedy in 140 years of the magazine was Fred Gwynne. Herman Munster was the only Lampoon graduate to work in comedy. And then it was me and my partner, Al Jean, and we got a job in L.A., and now there's hundreds of us. But, they're doing good work. It's not an old boy network or anything. They're on all the best shows.
The book, once again, has lots of stories. And we just watched. So I just spoke to Matt, the Porcelain Punisher Fondelier, my assistant, who's a huge Simpsons fan. When he was a kid, we'll show you a picture of him pretty dorked out in the Simpsons, in the world of Simpsons, wearing the slippers and the jacket.
Oh, man. How has this not been unearthed?
I blame the parents for that.
Do the Bartman.
Yeah. Where are you?
This is actually my bedroom.
What? This is not a museum?
He's a nerd heaven.
Actually, yeah. To this day, the room looks like this still.
Oh, dear God.
It is, in fact, a museum to The Simpsons.
Yeah, so
he
is a curator to...
It was the theme for my bar mitzvah. That's a reason for a lot of that.
Beating off in front of Patty and Thelma. Is that...
Zelma.
Is that a situation? Or? All right, so... I think I was talking to him, but maybe everyone who knows comedy is a Simpsons fan. That's sort of the way I look at it. And they said, Mike wrote the Michael Jackson episode.
Yeah.
And then I watched that with my kids recently. And I was always under the impression that it wasn't Michael Jackson. And it was very mysterious, and maybe it's pre-internet, but it was like, that was his voice. No, it was not his voice. I'd look at the credits. No, it was not credited or whatever it was. And to this day, I think I just told my kids the other night, like, nah, I don't think that was Michael. And there's so many good Michael Jackson impersonators. Well, so I didn't know, but someone coached me up and said, oh, yes.
Wasn't that part of the lore that he said he'd only do it if he wasn't credited?
Well, we can find out by asking the guy. You're right.
I wish someone knew.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, get back on the mic. Let's get to the bottom of this whole Michael Jackson debacle. So you wrote that episode?
I wrote that episode with Al Jean, and Michael Jackson was enormously helpful on the script. He was funny. He gave funny suggestions. He read this very boring outline. We go to his manager's house. We have a table read. I'm sitting right next to him. He does the acting. He's just terrible. But then he sings. You know, we had written Ben and Thriller and all these. And I'm sitting 2 feet away from Michael. He's singing his hits. And it was amazing. The other thing I should say, especially on this show, Michael Jackson, you know, this was about six noses before the end. He was buff. He was buff and strong and normal. And it was just a terrible feeling knowing Michael Jackson could kick my ass.
Oh, this was a dangerous era, Michael Jackson. He was still making albums and videos.
This was bad. This was during the movie.
Was he before that?
It was after Thriller, bad. So,
okay.
But yeah, I'm just shocked. Big, tall, strong guy, nice.
Well, you know, you think about the Jacksons, the brothers and all that, they come from, like, pretty good stock. Like, they're strong, well-built, well-put-together family. There's no reason why, except for you're going to go psychosis, why you'd go the other way. But in terms of just genetics,
they had it.
Good, strong dude.
Yep.
So we
get to the recording, and James L. Brooks, Oscar-winning director, comes to direct Michael Jackson on the acting, and it's hopeless. Michael Jackson is... resisted. Francis Ford Coppola directed him. Scorsese directed him. You can't get good acting out of Michael.
Hold on. Did you see The Wiz?
Sidney Lumet can't direct the guy.
I beg to differ.
So
now, can you not? All right. So let's try to figure this out.
Wait. I'll finish this, and then
you tell me.
You'll never have to hear from me again. It's just we get to the end of the day. The acting is done. It's time for the singing, and that's where Michael says, "Kip, come in here." And he brings in Kip Lennon, the younger brother of the Lennon sisters, this little white guy. And he goes, "This is my authorized sound alike." And Lennon did the singing in that episode while Michael Jackson stood 2 feet away just laughing. This was the biggest joke in the world to him. And we don't know to this day why he did it, what he thought the joke was. But if you watch that show again, you'll see. Kip Lennon is not doing a Michael Jackson impression. He's making fun of him. He was really spoofing him, and Michael thought that was hilarious.
So Michael did the terrible acting, and somebody else did the great singing.
Yeah, it almost seems like an executive decision. We'll get him for the acting, but we got a little white guy for the singing.
And it wasn't about clearance or anything. It was just a goof.
He said, "It's a joke on my brothers." And it's like,
that's great.
Okay, that's as good as we're going to get out of you.
I was going to ask... Like, I've been with guys who can't act no matter how they're directed, but some of it has to do with their willingness to not really take direction or do a second. You know, we've all dealt with those people that are like, that take was good enough, and you go, "Oh, do it again," and they go, "That was fine. We're going to the next one."
The Adam Carollas of the business.
How dare you? I'm putty. Is Michael Jackson... Then there's a sort of intersection of can't act and who's going to tell Michael Jackson to do it for a third time. Like,
As I said, he worked with the best directors in history, and all those guys, and John Landis too, and nobody got anything good out of the guy. He just couldn't act.
I couldn't act. Okay, that's my theory with guys like when you see like Shaquille O'Neal do commercials for The General. You go, that wasn't a particularly hot take, but I bet Shaquille O'Neal went like, you guys got 15 minutes. Like, I'm gonna crap this shit out, and then I'm going to eat, and I'm splitting. So that was good enough. And then you go tell Shaq to do it again. I'm not going to tell him to
you
do it again.
Him.
That was good enough.
Yes. I think Michael, he would have been there 6 days. He just couldn't act. I can't act either. There's some people can't act.
Okay. I'll buy it. And maybe, do you think his affect got in the way of his acting? Like, in a weird way, he was already acting. You know, like, doing something already. Now you're asking him to do two things, which is act like Michael Jackson and act.
And on top of that, act like a normal person in society. Right. You know, he had to do a certain act on top of that.
Very interesting stuff. Let me tell you for a minute about MedMen, redefining the cannabis industry and empowering you to exercise the right to purchase cannabis. Premium shopping experience, wide range of products with knowledgeable and approachable staff. They will find what's best for you and get it to you. Gina, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going to speak to the ladies for a second. If in my personal experience with cramps and things like that, if you go to MedMen and literally say, like, I'm having cramps, I just need something that's going to make my body stop hurting, they will know exactly what to give you. They're knowledgeable. They're nice. It's a state-of-the-art facility. I've never had a bad experience there.
Well, now they got a deal through the 30th. They got a huge sale going on, favorite brands, and you can save 40% off of many of your favorite brands, plus $10 off by mentioning me. Highest quality, highest safety. Don't worry about what you're buying. Check it out online, and you can check out their 8 locations, L.A., Orange County, San Diego, Vegas, or go online, MedMen.com. Find the store nearest you, MedMen.com, Dawson.
Plus, visit MedMen and tell them you heard about them on the Adam Carolla Show for $10 off your order in addition to the 40% off select items. Check out MedMen today.
All right. Mike Brees is here, Springfield Confidential. Yes.
Question about the very early episodes. I'm talking like fresh off Tracy Ullman. The thing that my dad and my brother and I always joked about, we don't watch everything together, was how Homer sounded exactly like Walter Matthau.
Yeah.
And how the evolution of that voice changed, and if you have any story about that.
There's just a normal explanation. It was Walter Matthau. Especially, they started this as these one-minute cartoons where, who cares? So, he was doing Walter Matthau. That was fine. And then, it was Dan Castellaneta realized Walter Matthau has no range. You know, Homer's full of highs and lows. And
music.
Exuberant and misery. And he couldn't get that out of Walter Matthau. So, that was it. He adjusted the voice and got to the voice he's got now.
Wow.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with Mike, and we'll do a little news.
Corolla Drinks presents Bands in the Sand, July 14th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach, featuring Mo Lauda and The Humble. Mo Lauda and The Humble, plus Roses and Cigarettes.
Tonight I'm going out straight till dawn.
The Smoking Kills.
Just another Southern California.
The beach is free. The Mangria and Endless Rant IPA and Lager will cost you a little bit. Mo Lauda and The Humble.
You couldn't tell by now.
Headlines, Bands in the Sand.
You need to save your
July 14th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach. Join us as we get it on the beach. For more, follow at Corolla Drinks and visit AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind
and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. On Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
I was hoping you were going to be the Mike Reese I went to a Walter Reed Junior High with. That Mike Reese told Mr. Tompkins, when Mr. Tompkins sent him down to the principal's office, that 14-year-old Mike Reese said, "Oh, man, sometimes I wish I could just kick your ass." And he stormed out of the class. Damn. And stormed down the hall, and Mr. Tompkins went flying behind him and slid out the door into the hall and yelled, "Bring it. That's my middle name."
Wow.
That's what Mr. Tompkins said to the other Mike Reese.
To the young man?
Yes.
That's teaching.
To the bizarro Mike Reese.
Simpler times back then. Oh, Walter Reed Junior High. You see if you can find Mike Reese and Mr. Tompkins. You'll laugh your ass off. All right.
As long as he's looking for that.
I don't have the yearbook.
Real quick, we should pay off the favorite Simpsons characters.
Yes.
So before he got here, we were discussing that, of course, Homer is the greatest of all time. Sure. But we all have our favorites after that. My personal favorite, Mo Sizlak.
Okay.
I love Mo because he's the archetype that he is, but that he's got all these layers that are just so bizarre. They weren't little girls anymore. They were little women.
Can I tell you the only reason I didn't pick Mo? There are some moments that are so raw and real for Mo, they make me too sad.
Yes, yeah. He's so vulnerable.
It's too hard for me to watch sometimes. It's so heartening.
Yeah. I love his last name. It's a great, it's just a great name. It's just an insane name. Patty and
Selma.
Right. Oh, I thought someone said Zelma for some reason. Patty and Selma. I love Patty and Selma. They're great because I like their routine. I like when they're like going to have tongue sandwich and, you know, watch MacGyver and stuff like that. I love all of them. I love when they sit there and just take shots at Homer. Mm. I love it when they like knock on the door and then the one gives the other a dollar and goes, "You win. He wasn't in his underpants," or something like that. Like the smoke. I love that they smoke everywhere in front of the kids. They're great. Lionel Hutz, though, funniest. I mean, Dr. Nick Riviera and all that kind of stuff, all the best. But I don't know. I'm sticking with Lionel Hutz.
Choice. Lionel Hutz was great.
Troy
McClure.
Troy McClure, the best.
Exact same voice. I loved writing for him.
Troy McClure, the movies are always the best. All that Preacher with a Shovel and all that stuff, it always made me laugh.
My favorite, I used to write a lot of those. That was what I was good at, was Troy McClure movies. And my favorite was P is for Psycho.
Right. Yeah. Well, the best Troy McClure, I mean, the thing that was the best is when they'd go, "You know me from Today We Live, Tomorrow We Die," and Gladys, the Groovy Mule. Like, they'd always do the super big chasm between the types of movies he was in would always make me laugh, too. But I would love when they would return to Troy McClure and Dolores Montenegro and Preacher with a Shovel. Like, Dolores Montenegro was a perfect... We now return to, like, it was sort of better when it was on the TV and you wouldn't even see them. You just hear them go, "We now return." Right.
The Erotic Adventures of Hercules.
Yeah.
I think one of the best characters in any show of all time, and everyone loves him, I know, but in some ways I don't think he gets his due for being as complicated and interesting and a throwback time as he is, Krusty.
Krusty's great.
Krusty is such an interesting character. He has such a horrific backstory and so much heart. But I love like pulling from that Rat Pack, that Jerry Lewis vibe, stuff that, you know, a lot of my generation didn't understand and grew up and been like, "Oh, that was brilliant. That was brilliant. Oh, I didn't know at the time.
Camp Krusty.
Yep.
Oh, nice.
Camp Krusty. I was watching with my kids, and I remember so much dialogue from. I don't remember anything from the Man Show or Loveline shows I've done, but I know Simpson dialogue. And it's like, and my kids would be watching in one room with my wife, all just getting all caught up. And I would just periodically walk into the room and go, oh, here comes a good one. And with Camp Krusty, I made them rewind it because they're about halfway in. And we'd passed by the line where Martin, where the, all the parents were dropping everyone off at the parking lot to get on the bus, and Martin got off there, and I think his parents said like, enjoy body appreciation camp or something, and he went, spare me your euphemisms, it's fat camp for daddy's chubby little secret. That always made me laugh like a madman. Chubby little secret. The key is secret is what. Spare me your euphemisms is fine. Chubby little fine secret. Daddy's chubby little secret.
That, what is the secret? How do you keep?
Yeah, exactly. Your child.
It's such a great line for a 9-year old to say to his parents when they're. You got to find that Maxipat. They called it like a body enhancement camp or body appreciation. It was a sort of euphemism. But chubby little secret.
Oh, daddy's, like that.
Daddy's. It wasn't daddy and mommy's. It wasn't the parents. It was he who was embarrassed of his son, Martin.
I think for hipsters across the board, the most quotable character is Ralph Wiggum.
Oh, okay.
Nobody likes to quote Ralph.
He's like, great. Martin is goddamn awesome, too.
Yeah,
Martin, Martin really had some range. Like, he could really go off on people, too, at this weird mean streak and stuff. But anyway, it's an embarrassment of riches. All right, what do we got?
Well, most people use rideshare programs like Lyft and Uber when they're drunk, so they don't drunk drive, and it's a great system. However, the ride-sharing can actually be problematic for the drivers when people call who are drunk. And some of these drunk drivers... the drunk drivers, we've seen it a million times, they cause trouble, they yell at the drivers, they harass them, they try and slap them.
Throw up in the back seat.
All kinds of craziness that a lot of drivers don't want to put up with. So Uber is trying to improve this part of the deal by creating a feature that will let the driver know in advance how drunk the person is before picking them up, and then maybe they don't have to pick them up if they don't want to.
Blow on your phone?
The company... Well, here, this is crazy. The company recently filed a patent for a new technology that would track its users' ability to interact with the app to figure out where they're at, where their head's at.
Oh, so if they mess up and press a little...
Right, okay. And the system would look at such things as how fast the person's walking, how fast they're able to push the buttons, how fast, where they are, if they're surrounded by bars.
This discriminates against the Adam Carollas.
Exactly.
Is deft with the phone.
Exactly. So if they're moving slow, they're near a bunch of bars, they'll get a lower user state score, and the drivers be able to use the feature to decide if they want to deal with them at all. But how quickly, if this gets used, is somebody going to sue Uber after they get in a car accident because they tried
to get a car?
If you drop
your phone or if it's in a purse, that's going to be a problem because, you know, you're jostling the purse around.
Nobody would pick this guy up because he was too drunk. So he's like, well, fuck it, I guess I have to drive home, and gets in a car accident. Don't you think Uber can be blamed for that nobody would pick him up?
They should just have a company for
just drunks.
Just drunks. Yes. Yeah. Slobber. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Yeah.
Well done.
Perfect. Well done. There you go. Yeah.
It's coming.
The problem with that is there'd be a lot of like picking up guys and them going, fuck it, I'm tired of my old lady. Let's go to Mexico. And then everyone else in the van who was shit faced too would go, totally. Yeah. And next thing you know,
arriba.
Right.
Well, the off-duty FBI agent who accidentally fired his gun while he was dancing at a Denver club, he turned himself into the police Tuesday. He was arrested for assault. I do have the video. One second. 29-year-old Chase Bishop was captured on... Oh, here he goes. Doing a little dance. He does a flip. And watch the reaction of the crowd.
Oh!
Somebody just got shot. So, here's what happened.
Wait, I tucked it back.
He's hiding the weapon.
He put it in his waistband. So it fell out of his waistband, fired a shot into the leg of a 24-year-old guy, Thomas Reddington. Expect to make a full recovery, by the way. Bishop could face additional charges once an analysis of his blood alcohol content is complete. He appeared in court.
I don't know. I like the cut of this guy's jib.
He's a good dancer.
He's insanely athletic.
Yeah, lost in all this. He's a hell of a dancer.
Yeah.
He can move. Yeah, the thing, I guess it's the picking up of the gun in a hurry that causes a lot of problems.
Yeah, because the gun falling wasn't the problem. It was when he grabbed it, was when it discharged.
Yes, I'm guessing that means the safety wasn't on.
Doesn't look like it.
And the guy got shot. Is he going to get a lot of money from this?
I could see that. Wouldn't shock me.
And the bullet, how high up did that bullet? It looked like it just went off on the ground, but
well,
could have ricocheted or whatever.
It shot him in the leg. So, yeah. You know, hip or below, you know, what, three
mm-hmm.
feet? I'm not
mm-hmm.
sure.
All right. There's a thing, I guess, where cops are required to carry guns when they're off duty, and maybe FBI are required, but stuffing them in your underpants is probably not protocol.
It's not the spirit.
Yeah, maybe they should issue these guys holsters or something.
Be nice.
I mean, if they're going to...
Dance holsters.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something. Stuffing it in your pants and then doing a backflip. Now, look.
Somebody forgot they had a gun in their pants.
Somebody forgot they had a gun in their pants. Yeah. That's right. All right. Him and Plaxico Burress are the two dudes.
Right. That's right.
All right. Here's the scene where Martin gets dropped off at Body Enhancement Image Camp or whatever. Here we go.
See you when you get back from Image Enhancement Camp.
Spare me your euphemisms. It's Fat Camp for Daddy's Chubby Little Secret.
You promised you wouldn't make a scene.
That's good stuff.
Made me laugh every
time. I like
time.
The punchline is, you promised you wouldn't make a scene.
Like they knew this was coming. Yeah. This is a discussion that's happened before.
Daddy's Chubby Little Secret. Just the idea that he says euphemism at age 9 makes me laugh, too.
I'm sorry, this question just jumped into my head after we were talking about Family Guy and stuff, and I've got to know, crossover episodes.
Yeah.
Like, say, with Family Guy, amazing, seen 1,000 times, huge hit, it was amazing. Were there any Simpsons writers that were like, we push the envelope, but this is Family Guy, we can't go full Family Guy?
This is with the fan. You're talking about the crossover?
Yeah.
That is the weirdest thing that has happened in 30 years at the show. Because Simpsons is so protective of the brand.
Right.
Every piece of merchandise has been vetted and gone over. So Family Guy calls us up, said, we want to do a crossover with your show. And I'm thinking, good luck. And Jim Brooks and Matt Groening, creators of the show, just go, okay, we'll see it when it airs on TV. And they just let it go.
I mean, they're... Stewie made a rape joke in front of Bart.
I know. I don't know what happened.
It was awesome. I just couldn't believe the Simpsons.
There was like a gas leak at the offices. I don't know. The only mitigating thing is the guy who run Family Guy for about 5 or 6 years is a Simpsons alumnus. He had worked there before, so maybe they trusted him. And in fact, the story I've heard secondhand, so I can't vouch for it, is Simpsons people perfectly happy with that episode. Seth MacFarlane was pissed because it's just a 1 hour shitting on Family Guy. It's Family Guy shitting on Family Guy saying they stole everything. And Seth finally said, we made a couple of things.
Yeah, such a great episode. Well, Father's Day right around the corner. And according to a new study, a majority of fathers today are much more involved in their kids' lives than ever before. Researchers have found that there have been a shift in how fathers view their roles. Instead of letting mom deal with the kids, dads today spend more time, provide more care, and are more loving toward their children than ever before. And most dads even see themselves as playing equally important roles in helping their children do as much as the mothers do.
Hell yeah.
But of course,
that's my dad.
Not all dads. So that way, there's still plenty out there believing breadwinner, disciplinarian, but there is an uptick in men assuming a lot of those motherly roles.
You know, it's fun to have fun with your kids. I'm not good. I don't do homework. I don't care. Everything else, all the bad stuff. But I have fun with my kids on a daily basis, and. I don't go do a bunch of fun stuff with them. First things first. I said to my son this morning, like, hey, this is awesome, right? Don't you love this? Look at that dog. Look at Phil. Look at your dog. He loves you, right? Yeah, he loves you. Your mom, she's great, right? She's great. She's the best, right? Who would you rather have than your mom? Nobody. Okay. We walk around the neighborhood. I go, don't you love this neighborhood? And he goes, yeah, all right. I go, it's great, right? I just tell them, this is great, this is awesome, and it's great that you're here, and we're glad to have you. And I screw around with them, and it's all free, and it's just one of those dad's in a good mood things. Like, dad's in a bad mood, it freaks kids out, it bums them out, and it's totally selfish, by the way, to be in a bad mood in mm-hmm. front of your kids. It's selfish to be in a bad mood at work, but it's much worse to be in a bad mood with your kids.
Sort of a little kid, yeah.
And it's free, as I've said many times. I went to the park with my son yesterday just to throw the football to him. And it's like we'd line it up, and I'd get him lined up, and I'd sit there, and I'd go like, blue, 22, green, 38, and then I'd start pointing at him. I'd yell, Omaha, Omaha, and he'd go like, what do you want? And I'd go, Omaha, Omaha, and I'd start like stamping my foot, and he'd go, you just keep yelling Omaha. You're not even telling me what to do. And
kill,
I'd go, Omaha, Omaha, and then I'd go, what? And then I'd back, and then he'd run into this thing, and then he'd come back again. And I do the exact same thing. Like, I just keep yelling Omaha at him and moving my hand, yelling Omaha. And he knew I was fucking around, and he came back, and he was like, you know, said to mom, like, hey, we played at the park. It was fun. But dad just kept yelling Omaha, and he'd laugh. And then he'd, like, make things, like, he'd say, like, it's better to break a sweat and get your exercise doing something than it is going to the gym and like riding the treadmill and stuff. Like just little weird things like that. It was funner to go after the ball that I let him a little too much do. But it's so easy. They're kids. Like it's just easy. Just fuck around. Have a good time with them. It doesn't cost anything. They just want to, all they want is your attention. Yeah. Essentially, and they don't need it for even that long. They just want to tell you
a story
about what happened at their little basketball camp or whatever, and they reenact it for 30 seconds, and then they split. Yeah. The parents that are overly uptight or just sort of put off or in a bad mood all the time from their kids, look, there's a million and one things you know in your head that you would not share with your kids. Why are you sharing your mood with them? Why do they need to know you had a bad day at the office or whatever's not working out or whatever news? Why lay that on them? I don't get that at all.
It's a good point.
It seemed like when I was growing up, it seemed like almost every parent was a bummer and bummed out. The dads were like pissed off and angry. Oh, here comes Mr. Vendig. Oh, boy, he's in a bad mood.
Get out of the way.
Oh, shit, he found something in the driveway to his disliking. You know, somebody left something somewhere. Like, they would just walk in the house. Who left their roller skate here? Who's this? You know, and then they start going nuts on a roller skate. And stuff. Like, oh, just who the fuck cares? So weird. Yeah. I freak your kids out and everyone's scared. my kids are having a good time and I screw around. By the way, my newest running joke is they're playing Fortnite every time I come home. And every time I come home, I go, what's going on with the microphone? You need me on that microphone? And they go, no, we don't need you on the microphone. Give me that microphone. And I grab the microphone. And then they go, no, get away from the microphone. I go, Charlie, Alpha Company, who's got their ears on? And they go, Dad, it's not even hooked up. I don't care. Somebody's out there listening. Dad, the mic's not plugged in. And they start yelling. And it's like, it's just screwing around. Like, why not?
Now, speaking of the best, like you said, are those games that aren't even games. They're just stupid things to do over and over again. And the kids get a kick out of it. Like, we're in the pool with Tessa. Like, I'll be like, you want to go up? She's like, no, Dad, no. And then, of course, here we go. She loves it. She squeals. I put her back down. You want to go back up? No, Dad. Right back up. It's just a stupid thing to do. But.
And you're going to be that dad. We would go to the public pool, and there'd be a line around the pool for my dad to throw everybody, and that's going to be you.
Really?
Oh, yeah. My dad.
It's a real Me Too moment.
The kids would swim up. I want to be thrown. And it was just always just throwing kids, meeting us at recess on his jogging route. And he was the Pied Piper. He would start a little obstacle course, and every kid in the entire school would follow him. He loved that interaction.
Can't do that these days.
No.
All right, let me tell you about LifeLock. Max Payne, you might be able to find me yelling into my fort.
Yeah, we got some
night thing in a second. LifeLock, man, the FBI issued an urgent request to reboot your home office internet router now to disrupt a massive foreign-based malware attack. Hundreds of thousands of routers already been compromised. So many threats in today's digital world. Good thing LifeLock identity theft protection now includes the power of Norton Security for added protection. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to help protect against identity theft So if your info's out there and it's on the dark web, you need to prevent that from happening. And if it does happen, their agents will work to fix it. But it's not going to happen because you have LifeLock. It's 2018, people. Let's protect our identity with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat and prevent all identity theft, but new LifeLock with Norton Security can uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Join now, and for the first year, get an additional 10% off the low starting price of $7.99 a month plus applicable taxes. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam.
All right, show you 30 seconds of that, just to see, put in some context, right?
There's a giant green screen.
You got eyes on the enemy?
I do. I got
shot. I know. Shots fired. Shots fired. Man down. Man down. Medevac. Call the medevac copter. This is Charlie, Foxtrot, Tango, Alpha, Omega. Calling in medevac. We need backup. Stat.
Yeah, I first one knew that like giant green screen.
What's your 20?
He died.
We got a man down. We don't leave a man behind.
He already died.
Come on, son, we're going home. We don't leave a man behind. Marines don't leave a man behind.
Not Marines.
This is Charlie, Foxtrot, Alpha, Omega.
Sonny's such a great straight man. He's dead.
We're not Marines. Now I just yell, what's your 20? Who's got my 6? As loud as I can over and over again. And his stupid friends are like, what's going on? But
it looked like a comedy club, too.
You have to work it.
You got the mic.
Yeah.
You probably had worse crowds.
Oh, for sure. Hey, where are you from?
Get the kid a cocktail. Yeah.
What's going on with those? I ordered those nachos like 20 minutes ago. Where are those? Yeah, they just screw around and they don't care. Well, yeah. Why not? Because it's free, everybody. It's free. Everyone always talks about, we didn't have money. That's it. Kids, the last people who need money are the kids. Kids just need attention. We went to the park with a $3 football, and that's what they want.
Yeah.
They don't need the money part. They need the attention part. All right. What else?
Well, some very, very sad news. The Las Vegas orgy intended to break the world record of more than 500 people did not break the record. Came close. Drew 375 people rather than 500.
Oh, that's an odd number.
Yeah, some odd man out.
Yeah. Yeah.
June 2nd, Minaj Life's Sin City 8.
One poor guy in the corner loving himself.
That festival hoped to beat the largest orgy, which was in Japan, due to a series of logistical hurdles in which the event was forced to change locations. Remember that? Drew just shy of 400. Orgy was originally set to take place at the Embassy Suites, but once they got wind of what was going on, they changed it to a place called the Green Door. Minaj Life, quote, looks forward to beating the record next year at Sin City 9.
What's the record? Is it 400?
500.
Set in Japan?
Yeah. 2006.
Listen, I don't want to be culturally insensitive, but those people are hairless and miniature. They can't count like we count with an orgy. You know what I mean? I want to go by sheer volume.
Oh, like sure.
Mass?
Water displacement.
Tonnage.
Tonnage. I don't care how many miniature hairless people are there. I want a big Newfoundland of Americans.
Hirsute.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It should be done deli style, like just by the weight, you know.
That's good.
It's unfair because those people are hairless, they're miniature, they're beautiful, they're all tan.
Great. You got 500, 110 pounders in there. Great.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Right.
By your suggestion, I'm sure we won. Because there's 375
and of those
giant
people
Americans.
In that
Vegas?
Part of Nevada, for sure. For sure. We won the volume.
Yeah.
War.
We're the people's champion.
Mr. Brightside.
Right. That's right.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, I'm
Can
sure
I say
that,
this? Yeah. I don't know why, but I had this thought the other day. If you're getting ice cream from an ice cream scooper, that's awesome. But if they're using an ice cream scooper for anything other than ice cream, that is a bad sign. That's like spaghetti at school.
Oh, that's gross.
Remember, you'd be at the school, they'd be like, the chick would be behind the counter, like, you want more spaghetti?
Oh, that's gross.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It's the best for ice cream, but it is demoralizing for everything else.
Even mashed potatoes.
Yeah, you're like stuffing it like one of those, you know, hometown
buffets. Mashed potatoes. That always means powdered mashed potatoes. Like anything but ice cream out of an ice cream scooper is an unmitigated disaster.
It's in the name. It's ice cream scooper. They're telling you.
Right.
It's not called an all-purpose scooper.
You're right.
They did their
choice. It's not a universal scooper.
Right.
That's right. Now, the melon baller guys got it right. Sorry.
Well, again, some of you might still be scrambling to get a Father's Day gift together. By the way, I hope he's not listening. Dad is getting this book. This is
great.
What I will be giving him for Father's Day.
We sold one.
Jim Beam started offering something called the Bonding Over Bourbon Experience for people to hang out with their dad. The experience involves a weekend trip to Louisville, Kentucky, and includes round-trip flight for two, two-night stay at a hotel, a behind-the-scenes Jim Beam distillery tour, a round of golf, dinner for two at a fancy restaurant, a limited edition Jim Beam black gift box. The whole package is pricey, but
Does it include the part where the son gets really shit-faced and at some point screams at his dad, "Adulterer! Adulterer!
You did this!"
Oh, the nights mom would sob alone because you weren't there. Do they have that?
I can finally take you.
Is that part of the package?
Jim Beam in the world to wash his memory away.
Yeah. Just have to prop up mom every day. She was in her bathrobe till noon because of you.
I think it's
is that in there?
Yeah, yeah.
If Jim Beam
absolutely.
Is your thing, this is a cool gift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So get on that.
What's the price? $2,000 a person?
It doesn't say. It just says it's pricey.
It's got to be
a good thing.
$2,000
a person. Yeah.
I'll let's see. I spend every Father's Day with Jimmy Kimmel's dad, so I'll ask James Kimmel if he just wants to have some bourbon with the Ace Man next year. Yeah. I'll be seeing him Sunday for the softball game.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure plenty of the dudes at the orgy had the dad bod, and apparently that is A-okay with the ladies.
Oh, thank God. My time has come.
The survey found that 67.
Let me explain the dad bod.
Okay.
The dad bod is Chris Pratt after he's done shooting Jurassic Land, and he said, wow. Okay, no more. Now I can have a couple of beers and some pasta. It's about 10 days after that. It's a well-built dude who just had done filming, and now it's all going to be voiceover stuff and VO and wraparound and ADR.
Lego
Slightly
movie
less
too.
And
definition.
He can finally go back to having a couple IPAs with his hair. That's dad bod. But it's not just dude who's not in good shape.
You're right.
It's built dude who's got a little paunch. That's it. And by, that guy looks good. They're calling that dad bod. That's not what dads look like.
I think you're right. Well, 67% of women find it very attractive. 62% of women went as far as to say that that is the sexiest look from a guy. Some other results.
As defined by Adam, I need to know this. Yeah.
This is a game changer. 65% of women would rather marry someone with a dad bod than a man with a six pack. 70% of women.
It's that's a different personality that they're marrying, that they're saying they're not factoring in, but they are factoring in. That's also a guy who's taken up more closet space than you get. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like there's a lot of baggage
other
that goes along with the six pack guy. That's the guy who may or may not have banged one of the chicks that was in the bridal party or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of other stuff going on.
He's on a first name in the bathroom.
He's on a first name basis for some of the girls at the gym.
Right.
Yeah, don't like that.
Right.
At 70% say, believe that dad bods, guys with dad bods, you have a happier marriage. Oh. And 83% of women believe that sporting a dad bod is a true sign of confidence. Well, not lethargy.
You may be onto something.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
it's a manifestation.
Happy Father's Day, everybody.
That's great.
Yeah. All right. What's everyone doing on Father's Day?
I'm going to see a movie alone.
Are you really?
It's a long story. But then we're going to barbecue for dinner.
Oh, nice.
Don't they say, what's Mother's Day without gifts? Father's Day.
Yeah.
That's why.
I don't need a gift.
I'm taking my dad to dinner Saturday night. And then I think because we're Jews, we'll eat again Sunday.
Mike? What do you got going?
I'm doing three more podcasts.
Yeah.
I got a book to sell.
Yeah. I got a car show in Beverly Hills, which is near this UCLA softball stadium where I used to hang out with Jimmy's dad at Hollywood Park. It was a fun dad. They used to do a Father's Day thing where you'd go to Hollywood Park and get out like the, I don't know, they'd rent out like the loge deck or something, and they had the food and the drinks and the whole thing, and you'd go to bet on a few horses, and that was that's me and Jimmy's dad used to do that. And then it turned into the softball game, which is kind of fun too. So I'm gonna go.
Does the whole fam go, or you go solo?
No, the whole family will go. They're having the kids game is from like noon to one, and then the adult game is from like one and beyond. Nice. They'll have food trucks and all the all the good stuff. And I don't know what my biological dad thinks about Father's Day. I don't talk to him about it.
You'll ask him when you get there.
He doesn't play. I don't think he knows what I do. I don't know if he count. I don't think he. Here's what it is.
The look on Mike Reese's face.
I just presumed he was dead. I didn't know.
Well, kind of is.
Heard emotionally.
This, and I thought, all right. Or maybe you and Kimmel swap dads. It's some weird
thing.
Why
would you do that to Jimmy?
No, Jimmy, I know. Jimmy is a very tight-knit family. Mm-hmm. And Joan and Jim love me, and I love them. And they're just like the greatest parents ever. Actually, they're probably the greatest parents to the friends. I'm sure if we got Jimmy drunk, he could tell you a few stories. But they're just the greatest. Hmm. And so I've known them for 25 years, and they're everywhere. So if Jimmy throws a party, if there's 4th of July, if there's a cookout, if there's a birthday, if there's a Father's Day, they're always there because that's them. And my family's never there because that's them. And then what people do is they go, what do you think your dad thinks about you spending every Father's Day with Jimmy and his dad, either at the track or playing softball, and not calling him? And you think, oh, that should upset him. But then you realize if that upset him, he wouldn't have acted the way he's acted his entire life. He doesn't have a setting. That's you. Jimmy's dad would be upset because Jimmy's dad's a good dad. Yeah. You understand? Like this thing of like we graft our brain onto people going, well, that's got to be upsetting.
The behavior is consistent.
Yeah, it'd be upsetting, but he doesn't care. That's why it's not upsetting. So I'll enjoy it with Jim Kimmel, Jimmy, Joan, and
Jill,
really?
And John, Jimmy, Kimmel, all the J's.
Billy broke the cycle.
They will all. Yeah, Billy broke the cycle. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah. He had a Kevin and a Kate. Yeah. Okay. Where were we?
Want to do one more?
That's Brian, huh?
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Geico, man. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance so you don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. You take that extra money and you put it in your pocket. Geico.com. Spend a couple minutes. Find out just how much you could be saving on your auto insurance at geico.com. Us, live shows, we're doing live podcasts, Thousand Oaks Borderline Bar and Grill, July 27th. That'll be live, Pasadena Ice House. Drew's coming up on stage there, August 29th. Then the Big Moore Theater show in Seattle, September 13th. And we cruise after that. You can pre-order my movie, Uppity, the latest doc I'll get into some details soon, but there's some pretty heavy hitters in the community that are looking to make features and TV shows out of that. Some names that you may recognize from that community. So I'll tell you all about that, but you guys can pre-order it if you will. And I should tell everybody that this show was brought to you by Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. Check it out today. It's simplysafe.com/Adam. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. Mike Reese, not from Walter Reed University or Walter Reed Junior High.
That's as close as most people got to a university.
Oh, I'm sure. Springfield Confidence, Springfield Confidential. Jokes, secrets, and outright lies from a lifetime writing for The Simpsons. Available now on Amazon and at Amazon. So, till next time, Adam Kroll from Mike Reese and Gina Grad. Paul Bryan saying, mahalo. Daddy's Chubby Little Secret.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get your tickets for the ACS Live and all kinds of other stuff. Pre-order Willie T. Ribs. Doc, everything at AdamCarolla.com.